Turn again to the part of God's word that we read in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 31. Chapter 3 of Lamentations, reading from verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Jeremiah lived to see a terrible day. He witnessed the destruction of the beautiful city, Jerusalem, where the temple stood, the place where the king ruled and the people worshipped God. Now it is a habitation for foxes. It is because of the destruction that came upon it by the invading Chaldean army, and that because of the sin of the people. What trouble Nehemiah, or rather Jeremiah, witnessed. It was trouble. And it was trouble upon the scene that was not by chance. He says in verse 38, out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. All is from the hand of God. Whatever takes place by the decree and the providence of God. Both calamity and prosperity come from God. But in times of trouble, Jeremiah is saying we are to search and try our ways. Verse 40, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We are to submit to God's ways and his providence. We are to search our hearts and repent of our sins. We're to make supplication to God and pray for mercy and for grace. And we are to do so knowing that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever and his grace faileth never. What gives us hope to submit, to search, and to pray and confess our sins is that God will not cast us off forever. He is truly merciful, for the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. And with the Lord's help, we will consider first the comfort found in these words, that God will not cast off forever. And secondly, the compassion that God shows to sinners according to the multitude of his mercies. And thirdly, the confirmation of this, which is, he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Verse 33. So we have the comfort of God not casting off forever, the compassion of God according to the multitude of his mercies, and the confirmation, which is he doth not afflict willingly. We may be afflicted tonight, but if we are, it is not because God afflicts us willingly. He doth not afflict willingly. He does not grieve us willingly, but it is for our good. The comfort, first of all, God will not cast off forever. Well, the Lord's people do sometimes feel that they are cast off, feeling cast off by the Lord. Being cast off, that is, that word cast off carries the basic meaning of strong dislike or disapproval. God loves his people. He does not dislike them, but there are times when he is displeased with them, and this is what they feel. They feel the disapproval of God. They feel God's displeasure, and that is because of their sin very often. They experience God's fatherly displeasure. They do not experience his presence. They do not feel his favor. They feel like God does not like them, that he is casting them off. Very, very uncomfortable and even miserable feeling. they feel rejected by the Most High. To feel that God is angry with us. Nothing but discomfort in our souls, longing for comfort, longing for relief, but finding none. But there are comforts afforded to God's people, and they are found in His Word. The strong consolation that is given to us is not just the feeling of consolation, but it is the basis of consolation that is revealed to us in God's Word. And one of the grounds of that comfort is found here, that the Lord will not cast off forever. He may cast off, but it will not be forever. Jonah felt cast off when he was in the belly of the whale, or within the fish being swallowed up. And in the midst of that terrible situation, Jonah looked to the Lord. He says in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 4, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." He looked in the direction of where God revealed Himself, where God's mercy was manifest, and that was the temple. The temple pointed to God's promise of salvation, even the coming of Christ, and life and salvation by Him. And Jonah looked in that direction. He looked to the Lord. And in our feelings of discomfort and in our affliction, when we feel that we are being cast off, we are directed also to look to the Lord. It's our duty, whatever our circumstances, whatever our experiences, whatever our feelings, however low we feel, we are always, always directed from the Word of God to look to the Savior, to the ground of hope and mercy and comfort. For the Lord will not cast off forever. This casting off is temporary. It's not forever. It is of a relative short duration. It is even but a moment in comparison with the Lord's love and mercy, which is to eternity. In Isaiah 54, verse 7, we read, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee." The Lord has, yes, forsaken His people. He's cast them off as to their experiences, as to their consciousness, as to their feelings. Not in reality, not objectively. The Lord doesn't cast off His people. They are united to Christ. They are always loved by Him. But as to their feelings, the Lord forsook them. The Lord cast them off. For a small moment, that is. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Again, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But compared with God's mercy, which endures forever, it is for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. That's what believers will come to feel eventually. It was just for a moment. It felt like a long time at that particular time of the experience, but looking back, it was just a moment. Just as believers at the end of their life, and everyone at the end of their life, often do say that their life of 8 or 9 decades went by so quickly. So when God casts off His people, it will not be forever, and it will seem but a moment. Because God, you see, is so ready to assure His people of His love. He's so ready to communicate comforts to them. And He is ready to assure them that His love and kindness will never depart from them. Isaiah 54, verse 10, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Well, this is our true comfort, based on the Word of God. As David says, "In God shall I praise His Word." He praises God, but he praises Him on account of His Word, His unchanging Word. And no matter what believers feel, God will not always chide. He may chide, He may cast off, but it will not be forever. He may contend, but it will not always be. And this is what gives hope to the believer in Christ. Verse 29, we read, he, that is the person who is quietly waiting upon God, quietly, submissively, enduring affliction. Verse 29, he putteth his mouth in the dust, that is, he humbles himself. He putteth his mouth in the dust, he is quiet, his mouth speaks of speaking, he's closing his mouth in humility before God. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. But why does he say, if so, if just maybe there will be hope for me? Well, that's not speaking of on God's part, but it's describing the feelings of the believer. Maybe there's hope for me, after all. When they're on the border of despair or darkness, the child of God or a believer in Christ is saying, yet, perhaps there's hope. But, of course, objectively, there is hope. As far as God is concerned, he promises with an unchangeable, infallible promise that all who believe in Christ, no matter what their circumstances, all who repent of their sins, all who look to Jesus for mercy will be saved. And there is their hope in Christ himself, the anchor of the soul. And God has promised if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he assures us from his word that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And those who wait for him, they will experience his compassion, the compassion of God, according to the multitude of his mercies. So that's what we consider secondly, the compassion. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Now, there is grief and there is affliction that not only believers, but everyone at some point may experience. We must not think that only believers suffer. There's many in the world who are suffering today who have no hope in Christ. But that's the difference. Believers suffer, but they also have hope. They have hope in the Savior. But though he cause grief. Now, the prosperity gospel says that God doesn't want you to have grief, and God doesn't cause affliction and misery. It's only the devil, and it's your lack of faith that you're going through such hardship. God is not responsible for it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Because both natural evil and good proceed from God. So we must acknowledge that the Lord does inflict pain. And it's not against his purpose. But he doesn't afflict it willingly. And that's what we'll come to see. So clearly, but though he cause grief, he does cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Grief, the word here is a mental troubling resulting from affliction. Sorrow of mind as a result of trouble. And believers do experience sorrow and trouble, and they carry mental burdens, and they are weighed down with grief at times. And it's not by chance. The Lord has ordered it in his decree and providence. The question for us is, are we learning from it? Are we learning the lessons of the afflictions? We desire to come out of the affliction. The smoothest, easiest way to come out of affliction is to learn the lessons that God is teaching us. And we find relief in God's word. Psalm 119, verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. He's full of grief. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. It's God's word that brings us relief from that state of mind of grief. It's the word that gives us comfort, and this word here is to convey comfort to us, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, though he does cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Now, the word compassion is a deep love, which is rooted in some natural bond. It's usually spoken of the love of a father to a child. It's a deep inward feeling, this compassion, which is also used to convey the idea of pity and mercy. God has pity toward his people, and he will show them mercy because he has compassion upon them. He will show them kindness because he loves them. He sees their condition. He knows what they're going through, and he's inclined to help them. He is ready to help them. Why? Because he is full of tender mercy. When the Jews were literally being cast off and sent into Babylon for their sin, we read that God promised to bring them back. And God says in Jeremiah chapter 12, "I will return. I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land." So God is not going to cast them off forever. He's going to return to them with compassion on them and bring them back to their own land. So God's compassion is manifest when he comes back to his people, or when he brings his people back to himself, when he again gives them a sense of his love and fellowship with him. So after periods of feeling distant from the Lord, the Lord causes his people to experience his favor in their souls again. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us, we read in Micah chapter 7. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. So the Lord, when he returns to his people, or turns them to himself, he brings into their experience all the blessings that they need, all the benefits of grace and salvation. They will see their needs being met. They will enjoy the blessings of salvation in their souls. And so we are encouraged to pray. We all need mercy. We all need the basis of hope. What is our anchor? Well, it's God. It can only be God manifest in Christ. The Lord knows what we need, and we are to pray for these needs that are all bound up with Christ. And so we see here what Jeremiah the prophet is revealing to us by the Spirit here in God's word: for the Lord will not cast off forever. And here's the reason: though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. He will not cast off forever because he is ready to have compassion on his people. And though he causes grief, yet it is not forever. The grief is not forever. And why? Because of the greatness of his love. He loves his people so much that he will not let them go on in grief forever. Because of the multitude of his mercies. Not just mercies, but the multitude of his mercies. The word mercy here is the word for loving kindness and goodness of God. It's telling us of the love and grace of God, and his love will never be removed from them. And because of his goodness and love to them, he is inclined to show kindness to them and help them in very palpable ways, in ways that they can see. He will actually come into their experience and cause them to see that he is merciful to them. Think of the mercies that we enjoy every day. We're still here receiving good things and hearing God's word, and we still see one another, the Lord's people, and we can have fellowship together. It's all in God's mercy to us. And if we're believers in Christ, it's God's compassion to us, his love to us. And indeed, the mercy of God is continual and eternal, just like the waves of the sea. Can you count all the waves of the sea? Well, how can you count them when they don't stop coming? And when you go home, the waves are still crashing. So God's mercy never ends, just like the waves don't end, and the waves stretch out as far as the eye can see, which is again reminding us of the mercy of God, which is infinite. And God's casting off of his people, that will end. But his mercy never ends. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, just as he himself is God from everlasting to everlasting. He is always merciful. Though we are always sinning, yet looking to Christ, we have a Savior who is always making intercession for us. What comfort is revealed in God's word? What multitude of mercies is with God for us? And then we are given finally the reason why, or at least another evidence that God will not cast off forever, another evidence that he will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, and it is this: for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. So this is our confirmation. God is assuring us that he will have compassion on us because he doth not afflict willingly. God does not afflict willingly. He only afflicts because of our sin. Affliction is painful, and it is God who inflicts it. But he does not inflict it willingly. He does cause grief, but he does not do it from his heart, which is what willingly is in the original. For he doth not afflict willingly. The word willingly is literally in the Hebrew from his heart. His heart is not in it. He's not afflicting with pleasure. There are other things that God does with pleasure. He says in Jeremiah 32, verse 41, "Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will rejoice to do them good. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul." These are the things that God takes pleasure in restoring his people, in saving sinners. He delights to save sinners. But I don't think we ever read that he punishes with his whole heart and with his whole soul. Nor does he grieve the children of men with his whole heart. And so what is true of his people is really true of everyone. The Lord does not delight in causing punishment to sinners. He tells us with an oath. He swears by himself that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. If he ever had pleasure in the death of the wicked, he would not be God. That's what he is saying. Man is by nature thinking God is harsh and cruel. But that is why, because it's so much in our nature to think God is a harsh taskmaster that he takes upon himself to swear by himself, because he can swear by no greater. He has to swear by himself that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And Matthew Poole puts it this way about God's justice: that God never proceeds to judgment but when provoked. He doesn't proceed to judgment except when he is provoked. That is, when he has to do it because they have sinned. And as it were, he is forced from the creature. And so he says, whence it followeth, or so we conclude, that he cannot delight in it. He doesn't delight in it. When he does something willingly and he doesn't have to, it may be said he delights in it. He doesn't have to show mercy to sinners. He doesn't have to save them from hell, but he delights to do that. But he does have to punish sinners because he is just. When they sin, they deserve his wrath. Which all of this tells us that God does not have pleasure in punishing sinners. He does not afflict from his heart. He doesn't delight in pain and suffering. What he does delight in is mercy. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. That is what God does with his whole heart and his whole soul, shows mercy. He spares, he delivers, he saves all who trust in him, his Son. He sent his Son to suffer and die that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Christ, will not perish, but have everlasting life. God shows his grace in giving his Son to suffer and die. No one suffered as much as Christ did upon the cross. You think of God incarnate, God manifest in the flesh. What infinite suffering he passed through. God is relieved from all cruelty or selfishness, that whatever foolish man would ascribe to him. But more than that, to assure people that God does not have delight in suffering. He tells us from his own word, "For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." People think, well, if God allows this suffering, he is either weak and can't stop it, or he does not care. So this settles the matter. God does permit suffering, but he does not like it. He doesn't delight in it. He does not afflict willingly. We have his sure word, and we know that all that God does is with a purpose, for good reasons. Perhaps the reasons are known to himself, but we know this from his own word, that he overrules evil for good. And the greatest of all evils that were ever committed, the crucifixion of his own Son, was for the good of a multitude that cannot be numbered, his own dear people whom he loved from eternity, and all who believe in Christ will be united to him and loved with an everlasting love. He is calling you, friend, and all who hear the gospel tonight to come to him, that you might be one with Christ and bound up in the bundle of life and grace and love, which will never end. Look to him and cast your care upon him, and you will experience his unending care and unending love. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. May he bless his word. Let us pray.